Today we're in Exodus. I'm going to start in Exodus 15, 22. And I'm going to go up through Exodus 17, 7. And the topic is tested faith. You have faith, and that's a good thing, but there come times when you need to have tested faith. And that's kind of problematic because it's kind of like, you know, you're walking on one of those old rope bridges, you know, and you've got to have faith that the Lord can hold it together until you get to the other side, even when the wind is swinging it and all that kind of stuff. Tested faith and patience, James tells us, are in the sight of the Lord of great price, great value. Those are things that we don't like to be in situations where we develop tested faith and patience. I learned not to pray for patience when I was teaching eighth graders. Because whenever I would pray for patience, the Lord would throw me into a situation where I had to have it. And it was one of those desperate things where you just have to depend on Him to provide. Okay, so there is a difference between faith and tested faith. And tested faith is more precious to God than gold which perishes even though it's been refined through fire, James tells us. So, what's important in our lives? Well, we like comfort, we like calmness, we like routine. The older you get, the more you like it. We like those things, but God likes tested faith and patience. Okay, so we start out after the Exodus, after the death of the firstborn in Egypt, the children of Israel left, and they crossed the Red Sea, and now you've got all these people, somewhere between 1.5 and 2 million people, and they're in desert areas, all right? What's your first need? You got to have water because you can't make it. You can't make it without water, especially in a wilderness area. You need about a gallon a day. They say, you know, in hurricane preparation, if you're out in walking in the desert, you need probably more than that. Okay, so I mean that's per person. And what's the problem with water when you're trying to transport it? It spills. It's heavy. It's very heavy. Okay? So you've got to have enough water for all those people. But you're in a wilderness. All right? What's your second need? You're going to need food. Without food, you got about 2 weeks. Okay? So you're going to have food. How are you going to feed 2 million people in the wilderness? How are you going to do it? How are you going to transport it? You know, you slaughter the animals. They're the ones you need to carry the burdens so that the people won't perish trying to carry a donkey's load of material. So we start out, tested faith grows in loyalty. Loyalty to God. Tested faith has to be focused on God, and it grows in loyalty. As you grow as a believer, your tested faith grows. Okay, so Moses, Exodus 15, 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Then they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And wilderness is kind of, it's not a desert like the Sahara. By the way, Sahara means desert in Arabic. So Sahara Desert is desert desert. And if you eat dessert in the Sahara Desert, it's the desert desert dessert. Spell that. All right. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Then they went out into the wilderness of Shur. This is what we would call scrub savanna. You have some plants, but it's not a bare wasteland, all right? And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Okay, they can't find a water source. An oasis, all right? How do you tell where an oasis is if you're in a wilderness area? You'll see a green spot. You'll see the trees, like Jericho. Okay, you see all these palm trees, all right? And you can see them. They're on the trade routes. They went 3 days. All right, you got 1.5 2 million people. They've gone 3 days, and they found no water. They got kids with them. They got animals with them. Now, when they came to Marah, that means bitter, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah, in Hebrew, bitter. All right? So they come to bitter, and they tried to drink it, and the water was bad. They couldn't drink it. It was bitter. And the people complained against Moses. They complained against the leadership, saying, "What are we going to drink? All right? You've led us out here. We're 3 days in the wilderness. We haven't had anything to drink. All the kids are saying, 'When are we going to be there?' And I'm thirsty." Okay, what are you going to do, Moses? So he cried out to the Lord. Probably a good thing to do under the situation. And he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. Now, what with this? All right. Okay, Moses, here's a tree. Okay. When he cast it into the waters, the waters were made sweet. Okay? He takes a branch of this tree, throws it into the water, and it's potable. You can drink it. The water's sweet. You can drink it. Good water. All right, well. There God made a statute and a regulation for them, and there he tested them. They start complaining against Moses, but who are they really complaining against? God himself, because God gave them that leader, all right? So he tested them, and they flunked the test. They're not showing tested faith. They've seen all the plagues of Egypt. They've seen the parting of the Red Sea, but they don't believe that God is able to supply them something to drink. How did Satan test Jesus? Command that these stones be made bread. Don't trust the Father to provide for you in the wilderness. Take matters into your own hand and command that these stones be made bread. You're trying to lure Jesus out of the will of the Father. Say, Jesus is having to depend on the Father for sustenance. He tested them, and God said, "If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in His sight, give ear to His commandments and keep all His statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." Trust in God. Then they came to Elim. where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees. They're basically 12 oases all together. And so they camped there by the waters. God brought them to a place where they had 12 wells of water. That's one for each tribe. They don't have tribes yet, but they've got a lot of people. Okay, so the animals and the people, okay, this is not a problem for God. And in the meantime, the ones who were about to get so thirsty that they would faint and pass out, that marah, God made the bitter water sweet, that got them to the place where there were 12 oases. Come on. And so they journeyed from Elim, all the congregation of the children of Israel. Now, this is the second time in Scripture that the children of Israel have been referred to as a congregation. That word congregation is used 50 times in the Old Testament. This is the second time we've seen it. It says, all the congregation of the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. On the 15th day of the second month after they departed out of the land of Egypt. Now, ironically, this is 1 month exactly to the day after they left Egypt. 1 month to the day from the Exodus, here they are. Okay? They've already started rebelling against Moses, and God answered their prayers anyway and gave them water from two sources. All right, did they learn their lesson? No, keep reading. Then the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. Now they're going after the music minister. Well, why are they complaining, you might ask? Then the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained, murmured, grumbled, look it up, against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said to them, oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt. Okay, what is it now? When we sat by the pots of meat and when we ate bread to the full, we'd rather be slaves in Egypt because we had Pharaoh burgers. And leeks, those Egyptian onions. I ate an Egyptian pizza one time. Burned my mouth. And I said to Ziad, Ziad, why is all your food so hot? And he said, oh, when you're as hot on the inside as you are on the outside, you feel better. And the children of Israel said to them, Moses and Aaron, oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt. We wish we were dead. Okay? So much for happy campers. In the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat, and when we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out in the wilderness to kill this whole assembly, that's the third time it's used, with hunger. We're going to starve to death. God has supplied water for all this bunch, and now you're going to let us starve to death. What is missing, boys and girls? Trust, faith. What did Jesus say? How is it that you have no faith? Okay. How many miracles did you see? 10 plagues on Egypt. The Passover. Okay, you saw the parting of the Red Sea. And you saw God turning the bitter water sweet. And you saw God leading you to an oasis of 12 pools of water. Okay, what's missing? Faith. They don't think he can supply food now. You.
We failed to recognize the fact that there were 7 date palms.
Yeah. Figs. Yeah. Oh, well, that's candy. Date date palms, I mean, that's sweet. Sweets. It builds up your system, you know. They're having to tell the kids not to eat so many dates. Yeah, that's a good reminder there. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a daily portion every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my way or not." Okay? I'm going to fix this food problem by bringing them a daily portion of bread from heaven. Okay, God said He was going to do that. And it shall be on the sixth day. Now, what's the seventh day? The Sabbath. And it shall be on the sixth day that they shall prepare what they bring in, and it will be twice as much as they gather daily. So everybody's going to get a daily allotment, but on the sixth day, they're going to get twice as much. Now, why is that? Yeah, so they don't have to work on the Sabbath. They'll have enough for the Sabbath. Now, this is to feed every mouth in that congregation. And we're talking about animals too. They don't live on air. Then Moses and Aaron said to all the children of Israel, "At evening," all right, when the sun goes down, "you will know, you will see the glory of the Lord. For He hears your complaints against the Lord." Now, wait a minute. They were complaining against Moses and Aaron. But He says, He hears your complaints against the Lord. Their beef is really with Him, not Moses and Aaron. "What are we that you're complaining against us?" Moses also said, "This shall be seen when the Lord gives you meat to eat in the morning, and in the morning bread to the full." All right, they were wanting the flesh pots of Egypt, and they were wanting bread like they had in Egypt. Okay, "For the Lord hears your complaints which you make against Him." What are we? Your complaints are not against us, but against the Lord. When people get sideways in the spiritual life, it's because somewhere they've got bad theology. Now, you've got some congregations, I'm not going to call them churches, where they pride themselves because they don't have doctrine, because that divides people. People argue. Well, what did Paul say? In the latter days, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Okay? If I were going to join a congregation that said, "Well, we don't teach doctrine in this church," you know what I would do? I'd walk on down the road. Because it's like a doctor saying, "I don't know how to tell the difference between health and disease." If you don't have a need for doctrine, you got a big problem. All right, and you're not doing away with the Lord, the Lord's word. What you're doing is you're fulfilling the prophecy. It says, "Your complaints are not against us, but against YHWH, the God who keeps His promises, the covenant-keeping God." Then Moses spoke to Aaron, "Say to all the congregation of the children of Israel." Now, this is one of those times where Moses is using Aaron as a spokesman, like the Lord promised. He says, "Come near before the Lord, for He has heard your complaints." Now, it came to pass, you need to be careful what you ask for, because the Lord might just give it to you. In this case, He gave them quail. Now, what's the problem? You got quail. Well, they start eating the quail. And what happens? Some people get sick, and some people start dying because they don't have refrigeration. Okay? But they wanted the meat. Okay? And it came to pass, as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. Now, they don't have the tabernacle. They don't have the temple. They see the pillar in the cloud, the pillar of cloud. That means it was during the day, by the way. All right, so number one, tested faith grows in loyalty to God. Number two, tested faith grows in confidence. All right? And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, I have heard the complaints, the murmurings, the grumblings of the children of Israel. Speak to them, saying, at twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. Okay? Twilight you will eat meat, in the morning you will be filled with bread. That's what they're wanting. And you will know, and he says filled with bread. It's very unusual in the ancient world that you didn't go to bed hungry. One of the few times they ate to the fill was at wedding feasts. But you know, when Jesus took the fish and the loaves, they all were satisfied. The 5,000 men, could have been 15,000 women and children, if you add them all together. They were all filled and they still had 12 baskets of leftovers. It says, so it was that quail came up at evening and covered the camp. All right, now the quail here, Coturnix vulgaris, it's a migratory quail. They fly long distances, and I found out that hummingbirds fly thousands of miles, those little wings, thousands of miles. They're going all the way down to Mexico from Canada and stuff like that. Those little bitty things. So it was that quail came up at evening and covered the camp. And in the morning, the dew lay all around the camp. And when the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a small round substance as fine as frost upon the ground. So when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, Manhu. They didn't say mana, they said manhu. What is it? What is that? For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, this is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Let every man gather it. Gather what? The what's it? This is first Whataburger right here. Let every man gather it. And the answer to what did they gather was the what is it? They gathered the what is it. What is it that they gathered? The what is it. And let every man gather it according to each man's need. One omer for each person. All right? 2 quarts. An omer was a bowl that held 2 quarts. All right? 2 quarts per person. Okay? Now, you eat 2 quarts of oatmeal. You want anything else? Probably not. All right. Let every man gather it according to each one's need, one omer for each person. According to the number of persons, let every man take for those who are in his tent. Well, they've got all these measuring bowls because they use them to cook with. So you take the omer and you take up 2 quarts for each person in the tent. You don't need any more than that. All right. Take every man take for those who are in his tent. Then the children of Israel did so and gathered, some more, some less. Some families were larger than others. So when they measured it by omers, he who gathered much had nothing left over, and he who gathered little had no lack. Paul refers to this in 2 Corinthians 8:15 when he's talking about Christian charity in the church. Let every man had gathered according to each one's need. And Moses said, don't let anybody leave any of it until the morning. In other words, you need to eat it all and don't leave it in the bowl until the morning, because God told him not to do that. You don't live on leftover manna, okay? Don't do it. Notwithstanding, they did not listen to Moses, but some of them left part of it until morning. Now, this would be pretty smart if God hadn't told them directly not to do it. So they left some of it in the morning. They're going to use it for breakfast. Okay? It doesn't say that, but that's what they're doing, because that's the way they do over there. All right? It says, you eat a little bit before you go, and you know, you got a long day. About 4:30 in the morning, you're eating breakfast, all right? And so some of them left part of it till morning, and it bred worms and stank. In the original, that means it bred worms and stank. That's the Lazarus meal. Lord, by this time it stinketh. And Moses was angry with them. Well, why is he mad? They didn't do what he told them to, which means they didn't do what God told them to. So they gathered it every morning, every man according to his need. And when the sun became hot, it melted. And so it was on the sixth day that they gathered twice as much bread, that's manna, 2 omers for each person. Now that's 4 quarts apiece. They got twice as much. It's a bumper crop, if you would. All right? And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. Then he said to them, this is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is a Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Now, do you know that Sunday is not the Sabbath? Sunday is the first day of a new week. That's when we're celebrating the resurrection of the Lord. We're celebrating the new creation. On Sabbath, which is Saturday basically, you're celebrating when God rested from the old creation. So what we're doing in Sunday, we're not giving the Lord the leftovers of the week. We're giving Him the first minutes of a brand new week straight off the top, okay? And we're celebrating the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord. We're celebrating the new creation, not the old one. And you can celebrate the old creation on Saturday if you want to, but it doesn't commend you to God. It says, tomorrow is a Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. The word holy means set apart for God's good service. And bake what you will bake today, and boil what you will boil, and lay up for yourselves all that remains to be kept until morning. All right, God's going to keep it from breeding worms and stinking. It'll work when God tells you to do it. All right. Now notice that this manna, or literally manhu, what is it? It could be baked. It could be boiled in a pot. It could be ground. It could be crushed and made into cakes. They say that the taste of it was like honey wafers. Wafers that had been cooked with honey. Kind of sweet. Honey Graham's is the closest I was able to come up with. And it was like a wafer coated with honey cooked in olive oil. Now, it would probably get old, but, you know, eating the same thing, but it could be prepared in different ways. So they laid it up until morning as Moses commanded, and it did not stink, nor were there any worms in it. Then Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today, you will not find it in the field. 6 days you will gather it, and on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none. Now, it happened that some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather, force of habit, but they found none. And the Lord said to Moses, "How long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws?" These people are going out on the Sabbath, and what are they doing? They're wanting to break the Sabbath. They're wanting to get extra food. They're not wanting to follow the instructions, all right? How long do you, notice how the Lord is holding Moses responsible for what these guys are doing, how long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? Look, the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, he gives you on the sixth day bread for 2 days. Let every man remain in his place. You people need to stay at home. You don't need to be running out to the fields and looking all over the place to get something that's not there, because God told you to walk by faith. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. And the house of Israel called its name Manah. What is it? In Hebrew, Manhu. And it was like white coriander seed. Coriander, I guess sesame seeds, closest we got. It was like, the taste was like white coriander seed. The taste was like wafers made with honey. All right. Number three, tested faith grows in testimony. See, your tested faith can be used to help others who are going through valleys, all right? That's part of the reason when you're going through a valley and the Lord comforts you, that's not an end in itself. It's a means to an end, because you can comfort others who are going through the same valleys. Now, if you tend to want to look at Lord, why are you making me go through this valley? Well, part of the answer is you're going through this valley because you're going to help people who are going through the same valley, and you're going to testify of the Lord. Okay? He says, Moses said, "This is the thing that the Lord has commanded. Fill an omer with it, small 2-quart bowl. Fill an omer with it to be kept for your generations." What are they going to do with this pot of manna? They're going to put it in the Ark of the Covenant. Now, what was in the Ark of the Covenant? Aaron's rod that budded, the Ten Commandments, and the manna. All right? Now, what do those three things represent? Ten Commandments. God has given us the law to live by. He's given us Scripture, all right? He's given us the law, Aaron's rod. He's given us leadership. Do you think we're going to get God's leader through this process? You better hope so. He provides leadership, and he provides sustenance. He provides food. You got to have it, all right? So God provides the Word of God. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He provides leadership, Moses and Aaron in this case. You know who the head of the church is? Christ. He provides leadership, and he provides sustenance, because he knows we need it. Okay, and those things are kept in the ark. Don't look into it. Now, I know Christ has covered our sins, but I'm not going to look into it. I'll let Dr. Aiken look into it. I'm not going to look into it. Or Dr. Patterson. "This is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Fill an omer with it to be kept for your generations, that they may see the bread with which I fed you in the wilderness when I brought you out of the land of Egypt." And Moses said to Aaron, "Take a pot and put an omer of manna in it and lay it up before the Lord to be kept for your generations." So the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron laid it up before the testimony to be kept. Now, at that time, they didn't have the Ark of the Covenant. So it's kept there before the presence of the Lord, the pillar of cloud, the testimony, all right? And the children of Israel ate manna 40 years. There were kids who had not had anything but manna their whole lives. They didn't remember Pharaoh burgers. Until they came to an inhabited land. When they got into Canaan, what happened to the manna? It stopped just as quickly as it started, because this is a land filled with milk and honey. So God provided it as long as they needed it. Now an omer is 1/10 of an ephah. So it's 2.3 liters dry measure. It's 2 quarts. It's a bowl, 2 quarts. That's a big old bowl. All right. And then all the congregation of the children of Israel set out on their journey from the wilderness of Sin according to the commandment of the Lord. And they camped in Rephidim, which means resting places, but there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore, the people contended with Moses and said, "Give us water that we may drink." So Moses said to them, "Why are you contending with me? Why are you tempting the Lord?" Slow learners. And the Moses thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, "Why is it you have brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" Now you see the logistics of it here. It's not just the complainers, but their children and their livestock, they've all got to have water. Moses cried out to the Lord saying, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." Now the technical term for this is complaining. Moses is complaining. "You give me all..." You know what Moses said? "Have I given birth to all these people?" He did say that. God got mad at him too. He said, "They're almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said to Moses, "Go out before the people, take with you some of the elders of Israel, take the leadership with you, and take in your hand your rod with which you struck the river, and go. All right? Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock in Horeb." Now that's Sinai. That's what Mount Horeb. "And you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it, so that the people may drink." So Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And what happened? Water came up like crazy, and God met their need. Not because they deserved it. They deserved the plagues of Egypt. But because He keeps His promises, and the Lord is faithful. Tested faith and patience go a long way in the Lord's sight. Let's close with prayer. Father, they tempted the Lord at Massah and Meribah, tempted in contention. And Jesus said to Satan, "Do not tempt the Lord your God." Father, help us not to complain against you. Help us to trust you to provide what we need. And help us to be generous with sharing with those who need, because that's the reason you take us through deep waters. That's the reason you give us tested faith and patience, so that by it we can glorify the Lord, not only in our own lives, but in the lives of those to whom we minister. Father, we know that tested faith stays loyal to you, even in difficult situations. We know that tested faith trusts you, and we trust your promises to care for us. Help us to trust you and not to test you. Tested faith takes advantage of opportunities to tell others of what you've done in our lives. Help us to use that tested faith to strengthen others who are going through difficulties. Help us to remember that. In Jesus' name, for His glory, amen.